You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is. But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like fashion, I feel like is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, but I would not possible.
Either. It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love
and,
this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dory Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And welcome to a mini episode where we hear from you, our listeners. And you also hear from us in response to you.
Yes, you do.
Yes, and get very, very specific here. We share your comments and thoughts and answer questions to the best of our ability.
And please remember, we are not experts. We're just podcast hosts, and we do always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or mental health professional as needed.
And if you want to reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390, and our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com. Dory, before we kick things off, can I pop open this sparkling water?
Oh, please do.
Okay, wait, hold on.
I love the sound of a can opening.
Should I put it right into the microphone?
Yeah. Ooh, so refreshing.
So refreshing. Pamplemousse LaCroix. Okay, to kick things off, we are going to play a couple of voicemails in response to a past mini-episode conversation in which a listener called in about how to speak to her daughter about, I guess, beauty standards?
Yes.
Beauty standard BS. So here is a voicemail response.
Hi, Kate and Dory. Love you guys. I just wanted to weigh in on the mother who was wondering how to talk about sort of contradictions in beauty with her beautiful 11-year-old. And as a former teacher, I just wanted to say that I think sometimes we assume that we need to protect kids from some of the contradictions and sort of nuance and weirdness of life. And I actually think that they can hold and understand a lot more of that than we think. So I would just kind of encourage this mother to have a really candid conversation with her daughter, essentially saying, you know, some version of, this is tricky, you know, this is confusing. How does it make you feel when when people comment on your appearance and being really open to whatever she says. Maybe she'll say it makes me feel great. Maybe she'll say, well, it depends on who it is. You know, sometimes it feels good. Other times it makes me feel self-conscious, you know, and I think just opening up a dialogue and creating space to say, you know, I know that, you know, it's taken me a long time to figure out what makes me feel good, and, you know, confident in my skin. And sometimes that means shaving my legs, but just because that's what works for me as an adult doesn't mean that that's necessary for you to be beautiful. And really kind of helping her understand that the standards we create for ourselves, we almost never hold other people to, right? Anyway, all this is to say, I think that this 11-year-old, can probably handle a more candid conversation, than maybe we initially think, because, you know, we get so intimidated by this stuff. But I think that they're smart, and I think that they could have a really beautiful ongoing discussion about this. Anyway, thanks for everything you guys do. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Well, hello. We love you.
Yes.
Let's just get that out there. First and foremost, what a great reminder.
Yeah.
Kids can have big conversations and big mm-hmm. thoughts, and they are very perceptive.
Yeah. I think that is a great reminder.
I also like how this caller positioned this conversation as ongoing, right? It's not just a thing you talk about once and then never talk about again.
Totally.
It's an ongoing conversation that probably develops deeper as your kid gets older.
Yeah, and your daughter's feelings about this stuff will probably change and evolve and shift over time.
Yeah, but you know, this made me think about what I had already experienced by the time I was 11 and what my understanding of beauty and the hypocrisy of, you know, all the stuff that was going on. You definitely are receiving that messaging at a very young age. So
totally.
She's probably already very aware of it mm-hmm. and ready for that convo. We have another voicemail to play that offers up a different perspective.
Hi, Kate and Dory. This is Susie. I just listened to the mini episode where a caller left a voicemail about her daughter getting comments about how she's so thin and beautiful, and the caller was concerned about how do I talk to my daughter about all this kind of stuff and at the same time participate in self-care and beauty stuff and trying to lose weight. And I think that she needs to practice what she preaches. I think something that I've learned recently is that you need to talk to yourself the way you would talk to your daughter. And if you are telling your daughter that, you know, being thin isn't the most important thing in the world and being beautiful isn't going to make your life wonderful, then I think you need to, I don't know, soak some of that up, and try maybe to demonstrate some other stuff. So, like, it's great to work out if it really does make you strong, but don't work out to lose weight and then tell your daughter that you're doing it because it makes you feel strong. So I think self-care can be a lot of different things, and try to be kind to yourself the way you would be kind to your daughter. All right, bye.
Try to be kind to yourself the way you'd be kind to your daughter. Ooh.
That's a good summary.
Yeah.
Because I do think, I appreciate this listener's advice, but it is in a lot of ways easier said than done,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, it's very easy to be like, sure, I'll lead by example. But again, we're all figuring ourselves out. Mm-hmm. So, but I do think the message of just being kind to yourself, which is yes. what you would want anyone to do to themselves, I think is key.
I agree.
Anyway.
Well, let's shift topics.
We've got a great email here that resonated with me.
That is also following up on something we discussed last week.
Really digging into some follow-ups here, Dory.
I love a follow-up.
Here is a message from a listener on email. They write, I'm writing in about speaking for the dead. My brother passed away 9 years ago, and we have no idea who or what he would be now. None of us are the same people we were a decade ago. It's so bizarre that people presume what the person who passed away would do or want or say. There is the danger of manipulation and guilt in the name of the deceased. My mom and I like to use this to our advantage. Whenever there is an expensive pair of pants I want to buy, or we want to go on a trip, or my mom wants a massage, etc., we just say, it's what Ben would have wanted. Then we can have a good cackle and do whatever we please, because who can argue with the dead?
I love that.
I wrote this listener back because this reminded me so much of like something my own mom and I would have done. And something I do, or I have a friend who will toast my mom with me at meals. And it's a humorous way of kind of, I don't know, dealing with your grief. But I think this is very, very sweet.
Yes, I agree.
I love this. I love hearing this perspective. And we're obviously both very sorry that you went through the loss of your brother.
Yeah.
But thank you for sharing this.
Yeah, thank you.
Dory, transitioning again. There's no segue here from grief to sunscreen.
I'm getting whiplash. Just kidding.
Well, prepare to get sun protected. Okay, so we have another response, but this is in response to, I believe, an older conversation.
Mm.
All right, let's hear what this listener has to say.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I just finished listening to the latest mini-ep with Jackie Johnson, and I immediately thought of something when you guys were looking for ideas as to... Sorry, there's an ambulance right next to me. Hopefully whoever needs it is going to be okay. But I immediately thought of something when you all were asking for ideas about what you've been doing that was either wrong or totally different than what you were supposed to be. SPF. So I am one of those people who used to leave, like a little bottle of SPF and a lip balm everywhere. So like I had sunscreen, in my car and a lip balm in my car. I had sunscreen in the bathroom and a lip balm in my bathroom. I had sunscreen and a lip balm at work. Only place I didn't have sunscreen and a lip balm was in my purse. But then I recently found out that heat and humidity weaken the SPF in your sunscreen. So actually keeping it in like a hot, humid bathroom or keeping it in your car especially actually weakens the SPF in a sunscreen. I used to keep it there just, you know, if I was going somewhere for lunch or if I was going in the morning and I forgot to put it on in the bathroom, I would have it. But I was actually putting on weakened sunscreen that wasn't protecting the SPF that I thought it was. So with all of that said, I've changed it up. I now have an SPF and a lip balm that I carry around with me everywhere in my purse and don't have one in my bathroom, but I still have one in my medicine cabinet and then in my office at work. So yeah, have a good day. Bye.
So as she was talking, I was thinking about how I also stopped keeping sunscreen in my car for the same reason, because it's weakened now. However, I just thought about this a little bit more and I thought, okay, but what if I was in some sort of emergency sunscreen situation where I had forgotten sunscreen? That's usually my purse. I was far from civilization and couldn't buy sunscreen.
What are you doing in this scenario? Are you on a hike?
Maybe
are
I'm
you...
on a hike.
Okay.
And I'm meeting someone there who also forgot their sunscreen.
And it's a very sunny day.
And it's a very sunny day.
You left your hat, protective hat, back at home.
Well, I have my hat.
Okay. Just setting the scenario. What are you wearing?
I'm wearing a tank top. Okay, so I want to like protect my shoulders and my arms and my chest, especially.
Legs.
And so in this scenario, I'm going to say weakened sunscreen is better than no sunscreen.
Words to live by.
And I might put sunscreen back in my car.
Well, this is so fascinating. So this voicemail about not keeping sunscreen in your car has made you return to keeping sunscreen in your car.
Yes. But with the knowledge that it is only to be used in emergencies.
See, I did not know this very important fact until I reviewed this voicemail.
All right.
And I do keep sunscreen in my car. Specifically because I wear sunscreen on my face every day, but I often am not good about putting it on all body parts, like for leaving the house. And I'll be in my car and the sun will be beating down on the left side of my body And I whip out my little sunscreen and I cream up my arms, my chest, yep. so that I'm protecting myself. But it turns out this is now a weakened sunscreen. Yeah. But I agree with you. It's better than nothing.
Right.
So why not?
One other thought.
Go on.
What if we all started keeping like UV protected light jackets in our car?
I smell a startup.
Or sleeves.
Dory, now you're just...
Dory. Listen, I have a lot of ideas.
Do just sleeves exist?
Yeah, you can buy arm warmers.
But like a light sleeve? You could buy a light sleeve with like an elastic at the top at the shoulder part to just slide on.
See, now you're getting it.
We are starting a new business. Forever Sleevey
Five. But you know, I think it would have to... I actually think it would have to be more like...
an SPF shirt?
A shrug with sleeves. An SPF shrug. Because you would want your chest protected as well.
Honestly, it's like a big cloak. You just kind of... Or what about a light blanket? Like a sheer thin SPF wrap that you just wrap over yourself.
I feel like I would get like caught in it somehow.
Trying to drive and you're wrapping your SPF cloak around you.
Also... another thing to consider, you really only need the left side of, if you're driving, you only need the left side protected. So it could just be like half shrug.
Half shrug. We have so many new businesses to start. I will say, though, I do also keep sunscreen in my car because often if I'm with my kids and we like go to the park and I don't have sunscreen with me, I need to spray those mother effers down.
Totally.
So.
But I started keeping it in my purse.
A big bottle?
Not a big bottle.
Just a little spritzy thing.
Yeah.
I mean, great. Listener, you've opened up a real conversation
here.
You
really have.
I will say, too, I have a powder, a mineral sunscreen that I often keep in my purse. Mm-hmm. And I recently used that like on my children's full bodies in a pinch. Like we had just didn't have our regular sunscreen. I don't know how effective it was.
Yeah.
But again, it was better than nothing.
Totally.
So, well, listen, if anyone has already invented sunscreen car clothing... get at us.
Yeah. We're going to talk about sunscreen more after the break.
Yeah, I'm excited, but BRB. Let's take a pause.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is. But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like, fashion, I feel like, is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, but I would not
possible.
Either.
It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides, Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love this.
Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
So we got an email about sunscreen.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect timing.
Indeed. I'll read this.
Take it away.
My partner would use one product for everything if she could. She does not wear makeup, washes her face only in the shower, probably with body wash, and if she uses moisturizer, it's generally my body lotion, and she has perfect skin. For the last year, I've been encouraging her to use sunscreen because skin cancer runs in her family. She has agreed if I find something fairly natural, not expensive or difficult to apply. Any recommendations for a sunscreen or moisturizer with sunscreen that can be bought at the drugstore or Target that is actually decent? I know we normally recommend not using moisturizer and sunscreen in the same product. Like, you're supposed to use a moisturizer. You're supposed to use a moisturizer and then a separate sunscreen.
Yes.
However, in this scenario where we are talking about someone who's really
low maintenance
and does not want a lot of products, I'm going to say we can make an exception.
I think that a great motto for anything is easiest is often best for some people.
Yeah. And that
it's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. So we both had a couple of recommendations.
I will say in my list, I haven't tried all of these things, but I did dig into the Target website because this listener mentioned Target.
Yes.
I found a few options. One thing I really liked, which I had not noticed about Target's website, is that when you click on beauty and skincare products, they have these little labels about like what's cruelty-free, what's vegan. They have a clean label. So I tried to keep it in that kind of category because this person specified that their partner would like something fairly natural.
Yes.
So a couple choices that came up. Acure makes a day cream. That's a moisturizer with an SPF 30.
I really like Acure's products.
I use a bunch of their stuff. This one had the most kind of like natural labels. Okay. So it was like sulfate free and vegan and all this stuff. So if you really want to lean into that, that might be a great place to start. I also found, and that was $13, something called Botanics Day Cream Sunscreen. I don't know anything about Botanics. I've never heard of this line.
I've seen it at Target, but I have not used any. Oh, now that I'm saying that, did I once use like a micellar water from them?
It might be connected to Boots, the British line.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
I think it is.
So
That, I believe, also might have come under the clean label. Double check, but it was $11.99. It's a day cream with SPF 15. I thought that might be a nice place to look. And then Pacifica, which is a brand I've used a bunch of their products and really like, has a mineral face shade that is SPF 30, and that is $13. And these are all items that I found on the Target website.
I would just say, I think SPF 30... is probably the minimum you want to go.
So then the Acure, I believe.
No, the Botanics, oh, you said.
Was SPF was 15. Yes, yeah, so Acure and Pacifica were SPF 30. Yeah. Yeah.
I had one more suggestion, which is not the most natural, but is a good product, which is CeraVe's Facial Moisturizing with SPF 30. People really like CeraVe products. They're not all natural, though, so just... heads up.
Yep. But good price point.
But good price point. It's $12.99. Yeah. All of these are $13 or less that we recommended.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Have fun. I'd say buy whatever you think is best and totally. Just drop it on the bathroom for your partner to use.
Drop it like it's hot.
But Dory, you don't want to drop it. Oh, you do want to drop it like it's hot. You don't want a hot sunscreen.
Right.
Wow. Look at you. Mm. Listen, if your sunscreen's hot,
think about it.
Drop it.
What do we have going on next?
Here's an email. Here's an email that actually I could relate to in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've gone through this too. My husband is going out of town the last weekend in June for a work conference, and I am absolutely dreading it. One, because it means more solo parenting for me. I'm a stay-at-home mom to our three-year-old daughter. And two, because I am unaccountably borderline terrified of being home alone at night without him, despite having a home security system. Am I crazy? Also, this isn't a one-time thing. He will pretty much always have to travel for conferences a few times a year. Unfortunately, I don't really have much of a support system yet, as we've just moved to a new city. Do you have any ideas for coping, self-care, and healthy treats while he's gone? I'm planning on taking a luxurious bath every night, reading as much as possible, and catching up on podcasts, but would love any ideas you might have. And I also should add that this person said that even if we don't get to their email by the time their husband's out of town, they would love to hear us answer this question no Great. Matter what. So I don't know if we've missed the deadline.
It looks like we have.
But it sounds like this person's going away a lot.
Yeah.
So I just finished a year where my spouse spent probably, I would say, 75% of the year working out of state, maybe 80, maybe 85, a lot of time.
He was gone a lot.
He was gone a lot. Oh boy. But we made it. And I have, first of all, let's just say, being anxious or nervous about anything is totally normal.
Yeah.
So I would definitely like honor your feelings. Mm-hmm. And I have, as we've heard on this podcast, something called anxiety, and I have a lot of, fear about being like just alone in my house at night. The security system is what helped me feel more secure. Mm. And I also would like padlock our front gate every night.
Mm.
Again, is it a deterrent? Probably not, but it mentally made me feel better.
Yeah.
I know you said you don't have much of a support system, but maybe there is.
Wait, can I just say one more
yes,
thing
story,
about
yes,
feeling
story.
Safe?
Yes.
Because Matt, there was a period where Matt was gone almost every weekend, but he also now he mostly stays in LA, but he works very late when he's working. I don't know if this is feasible for you, but having a dog,
specifically a big old dog
with a menacing sounding bark, has been very reassuring for me, because I just know that Bo serves as a deterrent for anyone who's considering wandering into the house, but also he just like makes me feel generally safer. Now you have a 3-year-old, you're alone a lot. I'm not necessarily advising you to take on the huge responsibility
True.
Of a dog, but if it's something that you've been thinking about doing anyway, I have found it to be very comforting for many reasons, not least of which is the security factor.
Sure. Also, he's good company.
He really is.
My dog, 13 pounds. But she has a mean bark.
She does. And she tells you when someone's coming to the house.
Yeah, she does. And actually, I noticed when my husband was away for most of this year, she got more protective. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating.
Yeah. So, you know, dogs are great.
Girl, what are you going to do? Seriously, though. I also think, like, if you want to have a little buddy system with somebody, they don't need to be local, but just say, like, hey, can you check in on me every night? It makes me feel good. Comfort, you know, it's comforting. Or just like,
a nice idea.
Text me in the morning and I'll write you back so you know that I'm safe.
Yeah.
You know, just make sure that someone knows, you know, has checked in on you. That might just make you feel better and more comfortable. How about self-care and healthy treats or coping treats while this person's partner is gone?
I like to suggest watching stuff that your partner wouldn't be into.
Yeah.
You know, indulge.
Yeah.
You control the TV.
You do whatever you want.
Exactly.
I would say maybe no true crime podcasts.
That is a good suggestion.
Or true crime shows or anything that might trigger whatever is your specialty in the anxiety department.
Speaking of that. When right before they arrested the Golden State Killer.
Yeah.
But that book had just come out about it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm blanking on the name of it.
I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
Yeah, I'll Be Gone in the Dark. Yes, I'll Be Gone in the Dark. It had just come out. People were talking about the Golden State Killer. I was reading a lot about it. And I, one day, Matt couldn't find the dog's collar or harness or something. And he was like, it was in the car. I can't find it. And I legitimately worked myself up into thinking that the Golden State Killer had come to our house to scope it out. Because one of the things that he would do is he would steal things and just like unsettle people ahead of time because he always targeted people. And I was like, we're getting targeted. We're the second house in from the corner. That's always the house that he targeted. Like, I got really nervous. And so that's why there's an axe under our bed.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that was going to end with that.
Yeah.
Because I also had extreme anxiety from that book, so much so that I had to talk about it with my psychiatrist. And she was like, please don't read that book anymore. I've read it twice.
I couldn't even read it.
It's so beautifully written, but it is terrifying. And there's a new podcast about the Golden State Killer out from the LA Times and Wondery. I would say, too, like, you know, you're taking on a lot parenting, and you're a stay-at-home mom, so you and your child are going to be together all the time. So I don't know what kind of extra child care is available to you, but making sure you have time that's just for you, that isn't about parenting, isn't about your partner, isn't about, you know, the things that need to get done at home, stuff that's strictly just for your pleasure or enjoyment or makes you feel good is really important.
What a great suggestion.
Or like whatever your creative pursuits are. I mean, whatever, anything that is meaningful to you, don't lose sight of that because it could be real easy to do that. And don't read that Golden State Killer book.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that.
All right. We're going to take another short break. BRB. So this next email is very interesting.
Oh, yes. Do you want to take it away, Dory?
Sure. All right. Here we go. I'm writing to you because lately I've been feeling a phantom itch and not in a you need to see a doctor kind of way. For a bit of background, I'm 28 years old and I work in pediatric cancer research. I'm from the East Coast, but I moved to Chicago a year ago with my husband, who is in his second year of medical residency. We have a dog I love, have a happy marriage, and live in a cool part of the city with tons of fun things to do. I'm happy with the relationships I have in my life. I exercise, take piano and voice lessons, and make sure I make time to do things for myself that make me happy. And yet, at some point in every day, I inevitably feel an itch. I feel a need for something more. I just don't know what it is. It's like a piece of my clothing isn't falling quite right. I just feel a yearn for something that I can't put my finger on. The closest I have felt to relieving this itch has been making solo road trips home to see my parents. I've done this 3 or 4 times, which entails a 15-hour drive each way in one sitting to Connecticut and back. Everyone in my family thinks I'm crazy, and it gives them no end of anxiety when I do this trip, but it's the only thing that seems to give this itch any relief. Have either of you ever felt this unnamed itch or a feeling that something's just a little off? Is this just part of being in your 20s? I would love your insight on this.
Is this part of being in your 20s? I think this is just part of being a human.
Yeah. I mean, I think you might have wanderlust.
It sounds like you are seeking adventure.
Yes.
That you can experience alone.
Yeah.
And I would say lean into mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
Make this a week-long journey in another city.
Yeah, or take I took a bunch of solo vacations when I had a partner. I went on some solo vacations and it was great. I highly recommend solo vacations. So if that's something that you can do, like, it doesn't just have to be this 15-hour drive. Like, you could go to another country.
Yeah.
Think about something that you like to do. I went on a couple of yoga retreats. It's like, I think that just sounds like something that you need to do. Now, also, it sounds like you have a very stable life, which is great, but you're also like quite young, and maybe you feel like you didn't like have adventures before you quote unquote settled down.
I also think this is a great conversation to be having over the course of a longer period of time with a therapist.
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't seem to me like a one-time conversation and you'll figure it out. An itch to be experiencing or seeing or living in a more fulfilled way, and whatever that means to you, that's something that requires, I think, a lot of digging.
Yeah.
And is a really valuable thing to explore with in therapy.
I'm also curious what your husband's take on all of this is.
Just gonna say that.
Because he doesn't come up that much in this email.
Maybe he's super supportive.
I don't know.
Maybe he doesn't even notice.
Yeah. I'm curious. Like, he's a medical resident.
Probably busy.
So he's probably super busy. And I mean, you work in pediatric cancer research. That's not exactly like a casual
no.
job. So is this a conversation you've had with your husband? I'm wondering what that conversation has been like and what you guys have concluded.
I also think, like, to me, I wonder if you are also digging around for more meaning or more fulfillment in life that you might not be getting. And sometimes we can look around ourselves and be like, wow, I live a privileged life.
Yeah.
I have a great job, a great relationships, great everything. And yet ... And mm-hmm. I think exploring the and yet part of things is really valuable. And I don't think you're the only person in this position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
But anyway, take those road trips too.
Yeah. And keep us posted.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear like what happens with you.
You know, so would I. Well, we've got one final voicemail.
Let's hear it.
All right. I'm going to let her rip.
Hey y'all, this is Adrienne. Not quite forever 35, forever 23 here, and, you know, still figuring out how to be an adult, as I'm sure we all are in different ways. Anyways, I just was calling because I'm just kind of trying to not lose my mind at work and in my current place in life, and I could really use y'all's advice, insight, encouragement, all that jazz. So I got out of college about a year ago, graduated, already with a job ready to go, and was super excited to get started. It was at this company, not that I had really pictured myself in, not the type of work that I'd studied, but I figured out a good job, well-paying, and it's back in the city that I grew up in, so it seemed like a good combination. Flash forward to a year later, even 3 months into that job, I realized the type of work was not the right fit. The industry doesn't excite me or interest me at all. There's not really a whole lot of mobility within the organization in terms of switching to departments that I'm actually interested in. Wow, can't talk. But I'm feeling stuck. And so I've started to prepare for law school, preparing for the LSAT, and I'm not seeing fantastic gains there either. So I'm just feeling discouraged. My plan is to still figure out a way to go to law school. I think that is where my passion is. But there's this kind of weird in between for this next year of, do I sit to this job that basically makes me want to hit my head against the desk each day, or do I try and find a different opportunity? And how do I go about that? I just feel like the things I'm passionate in, I either need a master's degree to work there, or I need to be willing to work for free or close to free. Love y'all's advice. Love the podcast so much. I finally started using a serum and I'm loving it. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Aw. We welcome all forever ages at this podcast. Yeah, forever 23, forever 43, whatever you are.
I mean, I'm always a fan of leaving jobs that you don't like.
I really think if it is financially feasible,
yeah,
to leave a job that you don't like, you should leave a job you don't like.
Yeah.
And I say this as someone who hasn't left jobs I didn't like, and who has.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I always feel better after when I do.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, you are young. Like, you don't have to stay in this job forever.
No. And even just the idea of figuring stuff out. I mean, Dory has two masters.
Yeah.
And are you, do you use them, like, professionally?
I mean, one of them is in journalism. So, like, I kind of used it. The other one is in history. I don't use that one generally.
But my point being is, like, who knows? Life is,
oh yeah,
like, hopefully long. And, you know, like, my father retired and is now in graduate school and getting his master's in history. And he used to work in finance. Like,
right.
I love the idea of you having a plan and figuring this stuff out, but also, sometimes life is unpredictable in the things we pursue.
And you just kind of sometimes have to go with it.
Yeah. And they all complement each other. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that you need to remain unhappy if you don't need to. And if the whole reason for staying is financial, which is a very valid reason for staying, I think, in any job, because we have to support ourselves and pay off debt and credit cards, maybe start beginning to put into place like a concrete plan to transition into another position that might support you but not be as miserable.
I think that's smart.
Yeah.
Good luck.
It sounds like you're very wise, mm-hmm, and making amazing decisions for yourself.
I'm always, I'm so constantly impressed by the people in their 20s and younger who reach out to us, because I was not where they are.
No.
In my 20s. And so it's just sort of funny to me that now it's, like, nice that people are now looking to us as, you know, for advice. But I'm also like, what I did in my 20s, I can tell you what I did, but I wouldn't necessarily, like, recommend it. But it also, like, got me to where I am.
I know. It's very confusing.
It's so confusing.
When I was 26, I quit a very stable job with very little money saved, took an internship, which I then had to stop because I ran out of money, and then I started temping. Like, I mean,
I took an internship at 28.
Yeah. And it all did support, like, a build into who I am today, but it's in the moment you never quite know what the hell's going to happen.
Totally.
So, here we are.
Here we are. Maybe, you know, 20 years from now, you'll have a podcast.
You'll have a podcast. Did you ever think that this is where your job career would end up?
No, because podcasts didn't exist when we were in our early 20s.
Yeah, your job in 20 years might not exist yet.
I've had a lot of jobs that didn't exist before.
Me too, Dory.
And that's, like, a fun thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we could go on, but we won't.
Best of luck to you,
best
though.
Of luck.
We are here for you. We're rooting for you.
Yes. All right.
Thanks,
this brings
everybody
us to the end.
Yeah, we appreciate you listening, and please don't hesitate to write and call in. We love hearing from you.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Bye.